You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Third hour, Darren Donick and Jace here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's head out west. Let's learn a little bit more about one of the subject matters in Hard Knocks. It's Hard Knocks Los Angeles, Rams and Chargers, but he covers the Rams. Eric Williams from SI Now is on the line with us. Eric, how you doing?
Doing good. How you doing, man?
Well, thanks for joining us. We know it's been a little bit of a crazy day. The Titans have canceled practice. They're moving things around, so we've been trying to juggle things on the fly. So thanks for your patience today, and thanks for joining us.
Sure, no problem.
What do you think is going to happen on the Rams front? Do you think that they're going to cancel practice? What's going on out there?
Well, I can tell you definitively they're not canceling practice because they're practicing right now.
All right.
They did have some conversations, I believe, before they practiced, and I think basically the consensus was, you know, what good is one canceling one practice going to do in terms of, you know, symbolic gesture or anything like that? You know, what are the long-term effects they can have on the issue? And I think they just came to the conclusion that they decided to practice. Although Sean McVay did call the team together right after special teams period and talked for about 10 to 15 minutes. I wasn't close enough to hear what that conversation was. And it's definitely something that's on a lot of players' mind as they work through practice.
The Titans are going to have some of their players speak at the bottom of the hour. They haven't even announced that yet. But if the Rams want to have players out kind of representing the room and talking about these tough subjects, who do you think are the guys? Who would you go to? Who would you expect to hear from in that locker room?
Well, I would imagine it would be, you know, whoever the leadership in the locker room is. You know, a guy like Robert Woods has been – doing a lot of stuff in the community, so maybe somebody like him. Jared Goff is going to speak at 5:30, so I'm certainly he'll be asked about it. Andrew Whitworth has been another person that's been very active in the community. So those would be some of the names, but, you know, maybe those players don't want to talk. We don't know at this point in terms of who they're going to make available.
Yeah. Jalen Ramsey's a Nashvillian, and so mm-hmm. I've been really intrigued to watch him. Certainly, he's had a role in Hard Knocks, not a huge role, but yeah. Thus far, what have your dealings been like with Jalen?
You know, I've only been on the beat a month now, but mostly positive. You know, he did get a little prickly during the Zoom call when we first talked to him at the opening training camp, and of course, doing a job asking about the contract negotiations. And I thought he gave a good answer when he came back and just kind of, you know, clarified, you know, his position on it, which I wish he would have did at the start of it. But it's been mostly positive, and on the field he's been ridiculous. He's been, you know, dominant, as you would expect, as one of the best corners in the league. I think the one thing with Jalen, I do think the contract's going to get done at some point. It just makes sense. He has a lot of leverage in terms of, you know, them making the trade for him last year. They're going to use Jalen a little bit differently. They're not just going to put him on the left side and let him stay on that side of the field. They're going to move him around depending on matchups. You know, you might see him on a George Kittle, you know, if they're playing against a tight end. You might see him, you know, playing back, just depending on, you know, where they need to put him. So I think they're going to use his versatility.
We're talking to Eric Williams, covering the Los Angeles Rams for SI Now. And, Eric, it's a unique thing, I'm sure. I don't know if you've ever, in your circles, covered a team that's been the subject of Hard Knocks. But, you know, you start feeling like you know all these teams really, really well, even though they're thousands of miles from you. It's such a unique show. So when you go back and watch, because I know the players do this, because they always reference something they saw maybe in the previous episode. How do you think the portrayal that we see on TV matches up with what you see every day?
I think it's been spot on. And you know, I covered the Chargers for 7 years before coming over to cover the Rams. So obviously I know that team better. And I think it's been spot on with how they've, you know, represented the Chargers. And I think it's from what I've seen the first month, I think it's been spot on in terms of some of the characters that have emerged for the Rams. You know, I just think last year with the Raiders and, you know, Antonio Brown, I mean, you're just not going to top that. I mean, it was crazy. It was must-watch TV because you just didn't know what Antonio Brown was going to do week to week. And I think now you're getting a much more subdued, realistic look at what training camp is for, like, for an NFL team.
Erica, you know, one thing that I am curious about that makes this particular year unique is with the pandemic, I don't think the teams have shied away at all about discussing the challenges of it. You see it firsthand, mm-hmm. what they're going through. And I even saw an impressive Zoom discussion about the social issues that have been taking place over the last 3 months. Of course, it's come up again here with the protests. Yeah. I'm curious your perspective on that. I wonder how it's going to be portrayed, and especially in Los Angeles, where you've got the Clippers and Doc Rivers, you've got LeBron and the Lakers at the center of this in a lot of ways. Mookie Betts at Nashville with the Dodgers and what they did. How those LA teams are going to react in the coming days?
In terms of what happened in Kenosha.
Well, yeah, and how what teams do to try to further the cause that I think that all of us would like to see, progress in the systematic racism and the social challenges ahead.
Yep. So I think that's the issue, is teams are trying to figure out what are the best long-term solutions to solving those issues, and that takes time. That takes meetings, that takes, you know, trying to get consensus amongst all the teams to have a greater impact on the problem. And so, you know, this isn't anything that's going away, just like the pandemic isn't going away anytime soon. And so you're kind of dealing with these two different massive issues and how best to navigate your way through them. And I just think all the teams need to take a patient approach, a long-term view in terms of solving both issues. And I think you're right. It's interesting because you're seeing it played out on Hard Knocks on a week-to-week basis. You're seeing these players that are in the spotlight dealing with these real-world issues and getting kind of a glimpse of how they're dealing with it.
Erik Williams is with us. We're talking Rams, but as you mentioned, you covered the Chargers for a long time. So I'm curious of how the transition of the stadium's finally done. Both teams are going to be in that facility. I know that there has been, and even though you're on the Rams beat now, but there's been a lot of discussion, okay, is there truly room for both teams in Los Angeles? How do you think that's going to work now that the stadium's done and they both have a home?
Who wins first? I really feel like whoever goes out, and, you know, the Rams reached the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, but who goes out and not only gets the Super Bowl but wins the Super Bowl, I think is going to win a lion's share of the fans. And so that's just the way LA operates. They're all about championships. It's really kind of a bandwagon city in that respect, except if you're, you know, a Lakers fan or a Dodgers fan, just because they've been around the longest. So I think, you know, whatever team wins consistently and wins championships year in and year out is going to be the team that I feel wins the battle.
One thing that Hard Knocks has been cool is allowing us to get to know Anthony Lynn a little bit better. Obviously, you covered him, but what was it like on a daily basis dealing with him in practice when you covered the Chargers? Because he seems like he's a pretty good, easygoing guy.
Yes, but he's very blunt, and if you're not careful, you can get your feelings hurt pretty quickly. You know, you better be careful if you want that answer or not, because he's going to let you know, and he's not going to hold back at all. And I think that's what the players like about him. He's a no-nonsense guy. He's a former player, and I think the fact that he was kind of a back-end-of-the-roster guy and can relate to those guys on the roster helps in terms of credibility. But, you know, he's pretty transparent as a coach. You know what the expectations are going in. And I think he's a guy that, as a player, you know that he's going to fight for you once you're on his team. So, yeah, I just think kind of, again, when you see him on Hard Knocks, that's who he is as a person.
So in your month on the beat and with the Rams, what are you learning about McVay that you didn't know already?
You know, I think it's just even more the charisma and the enthusiasm and the way that he coaches, and that filters down to his coaching staff. It's probably the most in-shape coaching staff that I've seen when I watch these guys working positionally with their players. A lot of these guys look like they can go out and actually put the pads on. They're highly enthusiastic and very hands-on with the way that they coach, and it kind of mimics McVay and his coaching style and how he operates. And so that's kind of one of the first things that jumped out to me. You don't see the six-year-old coach out here in bike shorts that are too small for him, you know, with his tummy over the belt. You're not going to see that guy out here. There's a bunch of flat bellies.
Socks pulled up to the kneecaps. Don't see that, huh?
Yep.
All right, end with this, Eric. Who's going to be the bell cow behind golf? Who's going to be running the football?
I think Malcolm Brown's going to start just because of experience in the offense. He's been here for 6 years. But I think ultimately it's going to be Cam Akers' job at the end of the season just because of his skill set. 5'11", 250 pounds. He's got juice to get to the outside. He's big enough to run inside. And he's a natural hand catcher. He's a guy that can do some things out in the perimeter if they, you know, throw screens in or swing routes or flat routes. These guys going to make him miss out in the open field. I think ultimately he's going to be a guy that's going to get 15 or 20 touches, but it might be in the second half of the season, not the first half.
Okay, so reading your answer, reading into that, fantasy football-wise, if you draft Brown, you better handcuff yourself with Akers.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's what I needed. Thank you, Eric. Really appreciate the visit, and we'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, that is Eric Williams, SI Now. He now covers the L.A. Rams. He was on the Chargers beat for 7 years. Now he is covering the Rams, and they both have been the subject of Hard Knocks. We will come back with more Titans players at the bottom of the hour. More of Darren, Donick, and Jace next. Titans have canceled practice. Their players and head coach will speak at the bottom of the hour, starting with the players in about 10 minutes. We plan on carrying that live, and then Mike Vrabel will speak afterwards. We're going to have Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. I was just reading where looks like Hockey Diversity Alliance has formally requested to the NHL to suspend all playoff games today. We strongly feel this sends a clear message that human rights take priority over sports. That coming out of, in fact, Evander Kane was the one.
Yeah, I just saw
who
that.
Tweeted that out. Pretty interesting. Eric Williams saying that the Rams decided that they were going to practice today.
Yeah. And I go back to what we talked about earlier. If that's the collective decision of the team, then you have to respect that. Again, there's more than one way to get to the same point, and I believe that that's important to understand. So that's what we're seeing, you know, with all sports right now. I mean, yes, the NBA is coming together and they've made their decision, you know, collectively as a league, but you're seeing some NFL teams practice, some not practice, but I believe that they all have the same thing in mind and want to get to the same place.
Yep. Something that happened at the beginning of the show, but obviously we were wrapped up into a pretty deep discussion in the first hour with our thoughts and with your thoughts, the listeners out there, that we just weren't able to pass it along. But something that has been, if you're looking for something positive to come out of, at least here's something locally, restrictions are set to be eased up on bars and ceremonies in Nashville as the new modified phase two. So I didn't look into deep detail what that means, as in eased up on bars and ceremonies. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to look at it. We've been kind of busy here today. So give me the details.
So this is going to go into effect Tuesday, September 1st. So first off, Mayor Cooper said that weddings, funerals, other type ceremonies like that resume at a third capacity or up to 125 people. Social distancing has to be, you know, that has to be in place, and things will be carefully controlled and supervised. So that's that part. The big thing with bars, that limit, they call them limited service restaurants, They can continue to serve 25 people inside, but an additional 25 customers outside, so a total of 50. And restaurants that have bar tops can now resume seated-only service at bar counters. So you can't go stand at the bar, but you can have a socially distanced seat at the bar top at a restaurant or a limited service restaurant. So that's the big – those are the big changes with that. And the transportainment, as they call it, can also resume at half capacity.
Say that fast three times.
I can't do it. With a maximum of 10 people, got to be with the same party. Masks must be worn while standing. So that's the things you see riding around downtown. So inching closer and closer, this is a big step, but we got to keep it up.
I think it's important to think about this because we got to this point before and then had to take a step back. Right? The case numbers have gone down, which is good. And that is one thing that we've seen is when the restrictions have happened, it does have the case levels go down. And I know we're probably in a lot of different places, depending on your own personal opinion on whether you like these rules or not. But the fact is that if we do this right, we'll continue moving in this direction. Right? So let's not make the mistake we made before and say, oh, everything's open now. Let's go. You know, let's do this the right way. Let's expand. Let's go down there. Let's take part, but let's do it right. And I, you know, and obviously I'm not saying try to drink a beer through your mask. I'm not saying that. I'm like, I know you have to take your mask down to eat your food and drink your beer. So don't go crazy on me. Okay. But when you walk into the restaurant and you go to the restroom, we've all done it. I think most of us have anyway.
Yep.
Then just be smart about it and respect the rules that are there, and we'll continue in the right direction. That's all I'm saying.
We went across the street after our wonderful experience Tuesday night at First Horizon Park and went to Von Elrod's. I'd never been there.
Oh, good spot.
Yeah, never been there, and we all went over there. Same deal. We went in, all of us, their mask on, and, you know, throughout the course of the night with our group there, you know, people, including myself, had to get up, you go to the restroom, you put your mask back on, and you go to the restroom. That's how it works. It's not that hard. But when I hear this, us talking about this, I just think of the GIF, let's go. We can do this. Come on.
You guys
let's
are
keep going
have
in
to,
the right direction.
You guys are going to have to swing by the station and get what I got yesterday. And that is a 102.5 The Game mask.
I did see you wearing that. You texted that to us, didn't you?
I did.
That's pretty sharp. Yeah, who's behind that?
You know, I don't know.
So you're not going to just blurt out something
you don't know?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that I was told about it, that it was coming, and then when I got there yesterday, I had one sitting on my desk. So that was good. And I'll also a shout out. I saw our owner, Bud Walters, yesterday and talked to him for a second. Have not seen him in person since March, probably. So it was good to run into Bud and talk to him for a little bit.
Very good. Very good. Okay, we're going to try to coordinate this. By the way, we don't even know yet. Do we know yet who the players are going to be?
We don't. I haven't seen anything.
So, okay, we're just going to kind of fly by the seat of our pants. We're going to try to coordinate this and get this to all sync up. We may have to fill, you know, a couple minutes. But when we come back, we should get the first reaction from Titans players on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, tune in all day tomorrow. I mean, you should tune in all day, every day, but in particular tomorrow, because we're going to be celebrating our 9th birthday, yes, at ESPN 102.5 The Game. 9 years tomorrow we're going to celebrate with you, the loyal listeners. We're going to have prizes we're going to give away every hour, all day, or in a 12-hour window. Some of those prizes include Predators Winter Classic jerseys, plural, Titans memorabilia, plural, Nashville SC jersey and scarf, $100 gift cards, plural, for Dunkin' Donuts and Party Foul. No, Hal Gill, you're not eligible. And much, much more. We'll be giving away at least one prize every hour from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com. The game birthday party is brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by RumbleOn.com. Looking forward to that tomorrow.
I know a big prize we're giving away on this show tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It's a good one.
Well, are you... Is that just going to leave it as a tease? Or
I will say it. I'll go ahead and just put it out there.
You can
win a happy hour at Tin Roof with me.
Now, that will be a very happy hour.
Wow. That's really the prize?
No, I'm serious. It's a happy hour at Tin Roof with yours truly.
That will be very happy times.
It will be.
Okay. All right. Are you going to bring your Chris Sanders picture?
I might bring that. I might bring the guitar. You know, we'll have a good time. Actually, they may make me go to work if I bring the guitar. But, you know, who knows?
All right. Yesterday afternoon, the Flyers defeated the Islanders 4-3 in overtime. That series is even up at one. All Lightning, after losing the first game in that series, they've come back and taken the next two. They beat Boston 7-1 last night, and then the Avalanche in the nightcap defeated the Stars 6-4. Kind of a back and forth affair.
Oh, that was amazing.
It was crazy. Dallas was up 1-0 after one period, and you're thinking, okay. And then all of a sudden, an explosion by Colorado in the second period. Then Dallas counters with their explosion in the third period, but so did Colorado. I mean, it was just the last half of the game was a big time. It was fun. It was a fun game to watch. But still getting word on whether NHL will play their games today. All right, let's head over to the Titans facility, Baptist Sports Park. Let's hear from some of the players.
I was prepared to go to practice. But as we started, we had a team meeting this morning, first as a leadership with Mike Vrabel, and we had a lot of powerful discussions. Guys spilled out their emotions, guys teared up, and we had a lot of constructive conversation. But as we went to our team meeting as with the entire team, we felt as players and as an entire organization that it was right to not practice today. We feel that with all the recent events that's happened in our country, not only just this year, not only the past year, but the past hundreds of years, we decided that it's time to take a stand today. And we feel that with this moment right here and today, with my brother Ryan standing next to me and all my brothers standing behind me, we wanted to show solidarity and be unified and to say that we're tired. We're sick and tired of seeing the things that's been going on social media for the entertainment. Seeing our black brothers and sisters be murdered by police like it's nothing. And I feel like it's time for a change. And as I sit here and try to gather my thoughts, this is not a prepared statement. I didn't have time to prepare a statement. I'm coming to you and I'm talking from the heart. I just had a son just Sunday. I have a 1-year-old daughter and I have no clue or what I'm going to tell them or what kind of world that they're going to grow up in this country. And I'm begging and pleading to the powers that may be to please, please, we're crying, spilling my heart out to say that we need change and we need change as soon as possible. Thank you.
Like Kevin said, we had a powerful conversation this morning. Guys spilling their hearts out and really hearing different perspectives on experiences, on viewpoints. And as a team, we felt like it's important that we stand up here together, united, that though we may be from different backgrounds, from different situations, been through different experiences, we're together and support each other throughout this whole year. Like Kevin said, these systematic oppressions have been going on for a long time. Hundreds of years, this country was founded upon racist ideas. With slaves being brought here from the day of foundation. And those ideas have persisted throughout the last hundreds of years, and it's going to take time until we can get those all out. But we're tired of it. We're tired of dealing with the systematic oppression. We're tired of dealing with excessive force. We're tired of seeing black men and women die in situations where they should be walking home and spend the night with their families. It's sickening, and there's really... it's sickening to just know that they have to worry about their kids coming home at night. I have two young kids. that because of the color of their skin, I never have to worry about if they get pulled over by a police officer, if they're going to make it out of that interaction alive. And that's a sick fact of the world that we're living in. So we stand up here together, united, demanding change, that there's equality and justice for all those situations. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, there you go. That was Kevin Byard and Ryan Tannehill speaking in the auditorium. Supposed to hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. We didn't know how this was going to go down. As you heard, Kevin Byard said he did not have a prepared statement. I guess they've been meeting a lot and talking, as you heard them say. I didn't know if they were going to take questions.
Well, we missed the announcement. I guess they had said that they weren't going to take questions.
Okay.
They were going to hear from the two leaders there that took it upon themselves to represent the team discussion. I thought it was really well done. I love that they didn't just read off a piece of paper. I thought that was great from the heart stuff from Byard and Tannehill, two guys that I think I just continue to grow in respect for as leaders. I think they've done a heck of a job. Mm-hmm. And they said beforehand they weren't going to take questions today. I think Mike Vrabel is going to. I think
he's about. No, he's
and
about.
So I
to
think
start.
He's about to start. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Elijah. Is he speaking yet? Should we
he
head over there?
To.
Okay. Let's go on and head back over to Baptist Sports Park. Let's hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel.
Sorry about that. Absolutely. Just tremendously proud of our football team. Tremendously proud to be their coach, to lead a group of men that care for one another, that care for making this place better than what it was when they got here, making a stand, believing in something. I'm proud to be able to listen to them and allow them to help me lead this football team. And I'm with Kevin. You know, when I woke up this morning, I went to bed last night, you know, wasn't sure what today was going to be. I wanted it to be authentic, wanted it to be real. And after listening to them and hearing them and talking with them this morning, we went into the team meeting. We allowed, an opportunity to hear from players I wanted to hear, and I wanted to understand how they were feeling so that I could help them in what their next plan of attack was. I allowed everybody to talk. We were great messages, and we felt it was best that we spend the day focusing on things other than football. And we're going to focus on three things. We're going to ensure that when everybody leaves here today, that they will be registered voters, that we will continue our education as registered voters with our relationship with I Am a Voter, a bipartisan organization that believes that democracy works best when everybody is involved. And then the last piece of registered voting is obviously the participation, which comes on November 3rd and Tuesday. And we'll see it to every coach, player, regardless of treatment or what their schedule is, we'll have an opportunity to vote. Talked about focusing on talking points that we can have with elected officials and the meetings that will occur here shortly with those people, so that we can respond and not react, and that maybe we can understand their protocols, their policies, and they can understand our feelings and the fears that we have. And the last piece, and probably the most important, is that we've created a Zoom with a Titan, and our players are going to reach thousands of children in Middle Tennessee to teach and to hopefully help recreate the atmosphere that we have when every one of us walks in this building, which is an atmosphere of love, respect, hard work, compassion, communication, equality, and accountability. And so those are the things that we're going to focus on today. And again, I'm proud of our football team.
Teresa?
Mike, working through this, the decision
Teresa.
Is – whoops.
Can you hear me now? Sorry, keep hitting the wrong button. Mike, this decision this morning and to listen and not practice, how did that come about? You mentioned wanting to be real and authentic, but was this did KB come to you? Was there a request to, hey, let's talk, or how did that come about?
No, I said I'd like to meet with you guys in the morning. Let's meet, and I want to know how you're feeling. That's how that came about. You know, I rely heavily on these players. I learn a lot from them. Again, it's the same reason that I've always wanted my children to be around them, so that they could know what a professional athlete that was, a great husband, a great competitor, you know, a great person, and I learn a lot from them. And so that's kind of how that went down. And I listened, and we have conversations, and then. And we translated that to the team meeting.
Joe?
Mike, I was wondering, first of all, if you could let us know who exactly was in that initial meeting. And I wanted to, if I could, double up and ask you, what do you think this means? What does this mean to you in terms of your team doing this? I know you've said some about that, but even this moment in sports in the last, you know, 20 hours or whatever it is. What do you think this means? What do you think the impact of this might be?
Well, again, to not get specific, Joe, you know, there's a handful of guys that I rely, you know, heavily on that I feel like, you know, we've got captains, you know, and then there's another tier of players that I think are that act as captains, that carry themselves as captains. You know, and then again, as we get into the team setting, there's no restrictions on leadership, and those voices were all heard. But, you know, I would like to keep that group of players, you know, just private. You know, those, you know, it's probably not too hard to figure out. But my feelings is one that, you know, again, we talked about those who can, must, and. You know, to be able to use this platform, our players and our organization, you know, we want to make positive change. And, you know, we felt like today was another great step in doing that. And our players have come together today. I think we're going to be closer for it. I think we're going to be better for it. And again, we might not have been productive at football, but we were a productive football team.
Ron?
Yeah, Coach. I mean, months ago, you were right here releasing the statement, right? And here we are again. I mean, how frustrating is that to you to, you know, see this happen and just go through it and be here talking to us about this very thing just months later?
And Teron, that was another message that, you know, an underlying theme that came out of those conversations with the players was exactly that. You know, here we are again. So it's very frustrating. And I think that's why we've tried to, and the team has tried to focus on this piece with trying to change the next generation, you know. You can't change people that don't want to be changed. You can't help people that don't want to be helped. There's going to be bad people everywhere. And we're going to try to focus on sharing our message and recreating our atmosphere within our organization that embraces players and people from everywhere, from different backgrounds, from different upbringings. It's a special opportunity that I have to be able to know each and every one of these players is story and background. And so that's a great responsibility that I have.
John Glenn.
Yeah, Mike, as we all know, saw some pretty powerful statements made last night with the you know, the canceling of several games, and then potentially, I guess, with the NBA, you know, a canceling of the season. I wonder, in your mind, as far as your team is concerned, is this, has a statement been made that's enough today, or do you get any thought that, you know, this is an ongoing situation and that maybe there's more practices, perhaps even a game at some point that might be, you know, protested to further bring attention to the issues?
Well, again, I don't think that, you know, sometimes a protest gets cast under a different light, a negative light. And that's not what happened here today. What happened here today was real, was authentic, was emotional. And we're still going to have a great day. We're going to continue to have great conversations. The plan is for the players to be back in position meetings to discuss those three items that I opened with. And then we're going to come back together as a team and hear from everybody and try to continue that conversation. But in the end, we're going to have different beliefs. We're going to have different experiences. We're going to have different feelings and responses. But we have to embrace and respect those differences.
Paul?
Mike, how do you kind of now go forward, picking up on what John said, you kind of maintain these things at the forefront, but also return to work at the same time?
Yeah, that's a fine line, and our players understand that they do have a responsibility. They do have a job. They want to play. They want to practice. They want to be here. You know, I take great satisfaction when players tell me that they feel safe here. They feel comfortable saying whatever they want, whatever emotion that they have, but they don't when they're away from here. And so I want to try to fix that away from here, but I'm extremely proud that we've been able to create an environment surrounded by respect and equality, that when they come here, they're free. And they feel like this is a safe place for them to continue to grow and improve as brothers and husbands, dads, and people.
Eric?
Hey, Mike, we've asked you, you know, a bunch about sort of the identity of this team when it comes to what it does on the field. But do you think when players come together like this, and you touched on this a little, you know, make a big decision collectively with eyes on something larger than themselves, do you think that goes a long way in shaping the identity of a team as well?
You know, I hope so. I think one great theme of being a great teammate is that you care more about the people next to you than you do yourself, because you always are going to have to, you know, somehow, you know, put someone else's well-being before your own. And that's all about part of giving yourself to a team. And I think that's what these guys, and that's what we've done today.
Terry?
Mike, sports is such a big part of a lot of people's lives, people of all different backgrounds and walks. How much can this team be a unifier of the community in Nashville and as you go forward?
I hope that we can continue to, you know, inspire people to make positive change, to look at what they think and what they believe is right, and be able to be respected for believing, you know, what they believe and feeling a certain way. You know, we can't ever tell anybody how they should feel, but hopefully people can look at our team and respect the way that we play on the field with the effort and the toughness. And then also respect our team for the way that we carry ourselves off the field.
Coach, I'm still getting a good number here for you. Jared Stillman.
As somebody who's got a lifetime in football as a player, as a coach, how have you seen the power of the platform as far as society and change are concerned?
Well, I mean, it used to be you just talked about football. You know, I mean, it was like, hey, what'd you see here? How'd the game go? How'd you win this game? How'd you lose this game? What position are you playing? And now these conversations and our ability to reach so many more people on a social level has provided that. And I think that what people realize is that we aren't just players or coaches. You know, we're people with feelings that are educated and that believe strongly about doing the right thing.
Buck?
I literally just put it in the chat. Jared had mine. Thanks, Coach.
Court?
Hey, Coach. You know, a lot of people are resistant and fear change in life. I know this afternoon I will get scores of messages from people calling you guys a bunch of rich crybabies and they'll never watch the NFL again. How do you communicate to those people and what would your message to them be?
Well, again, I don't know if we are, Corey. I really don't. You know, I've realized that, you know, being in this position, whether you're a professional athlete or a professional coach, that opens you up to a lot of criticism. But what's most important to me is our players' families, our coaches' family, and our organization. And, you know, I don't think that we're going to sit there and try to change everybody. And I think that's why we focused, and that's why our team wants to focus on the children and the youth in Middle Tennessee that can understand and that look at somebody and say, you know what, why is it important for me to be on a team? Why is it important for me to be on a team with players or people that may not look like me, that have are raised by their grandmother or maybe raised by their mom, or maybe it's okay to that you don't have the nicest shoes, that those things, that it's the value that you bring to the team is how you should be treated.
John Burton.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
I'm great, John. Thank you.
Just curious, I mean, for in this crazy off season with practices being so important to get as many in as much quality work as possible, for a coach to do something like this today, it obviously speaks to the trust that you have for your players. Can you speak to the trust level that you have for your players that when you do come back to practice, that they'll be focused and ready to give the effort and the finish that you always talk about? Thanks.
Right. You know, football, we play and we coach a violent, physical, fast game. And to step on that field with anything but a clear mind about doing that job would put the players at jeopardy. So we all felt like collectively we would get more out of today doing exactly what we're doing. And we'll come back tomorrow and we'll see what it looks like tomorrow. And we'll go from there. And we take one, you know, each day that we come in here, we try not to be on a script. We have a schedule, and sometimes we reserve the right to change it. And just like we did today, and you go in a different direction.
A couple more, Chris Harris.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, that was kind of going to be my question: is what you gleaned from the players about their mindset, as far as you said, you know, they want to be here, they want to play, they want to work. Did you anticipate feeling from them that they will be ready to go tomorrow, or is it too early to say?
Again, we'll see how everybody feels tomorrow. But I'm, you know, again, well, I'm optimistic that we'll practice just like I was, you know, wanted to see what direction it headed today. But I think that these guys are they've embraced this pretty quickly. They've come together, and you know, we'll see where it goes this afternoon. Again, we're still here together, and those conversations are going to get back, you know, going here after lunch, and you know, we'll see where it goes after that.
Kyle?
Mike, it's one thing to, you know, come out and say we want change, or even to make a symbolic gesture like to take a day off or a game off, which is not insignificant, but obviously change has to happen with action. And you mentioned that you laid out a 3-point, you know, these are the things we're going to do today, not just say. How important is that for all of the coaches and athletes and people in sports and that have this huge platform that are now trying to make this stand, that it goes beyond the I think heartfelt statements and moves into those, what's our plan? What is our action?
Yeah. You know, Kyle, I can only focus on this team that I'm fortunate enough to be able to coach and to help lead. I didn't reach out to anybody personally around the league to find out what they were doing because I wanted it to be real. I wanted it to be authentic. And that's what we got. And I told the players that. I told the players that I met with early that I want this to be authentic. I don't want this to be made up or scripted. And that's exactly what we got. And so we're going to focus on how we improve and the impact that we can make and hopefully inspire others to do the same.
All right, there you go. Head coach Mike Vrabel as they are wrapping up that Zoom call. We're going to come back. Fourth and final hour. Elliot Friedman, it looks like there is news on the NHL front and their playoff games today and tonight. We'll tell you all about that to start the fourth and final hour next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.